Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're part of the sub-segment of Pantau Kerajaan Baru, or the monitoring of the new government. In this segment for this evening, we're going to be looking at the energy sector. Very, very recently, Petronas has announced that they are able to bring unconventional expertise to UAE because of their collaboration with ADNOC. Petronas has signed a deal with ADNOC Concession to explore unconventional onshore Block 1, covering 2,000 square kilometers of concession area in the Al Dhafra region. We're going to be talking about this very slightly, but generally speaking, we also want to be talking about the oil and gas sector per se. Because of that, on the show tonight is Datuk Sri Hadian Hashim, the Managing Director of Icon Offshore. Datuk, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. I want to do a quick recap in terms of Icon Offshore right now. It's not a promising quarter for you. You've made the announcement. We're seeing a decline in net revenue, in net income, in profit margin. But the thing about oil and gas is that, you know, measuring an oil and gas company quarter on quarter, it does not truly reflect the kind of story that needs to be told. Maybe you can share with us the journey that Icon Offshore has been going through during the pandemic periods, and what is in store for you moving ahead for 2023.
Okay, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, Icon, the opportunity to speak on you on the air. First thing, let me comment on the Petronas signing of the
ADNOC concession. Yeah,
ADNOC concession. I think as part of the national oil company growth, overseas expansion is one of the targets. So reliability on the regional or rather the local Malaysian front, and also to give you a spread on income from both the Malaysian and also the regional. I think that's one. And secondly, UAE is one of the biggest producer of oil, and I think it's timely for Petronas to be in there.
Yeah. It's also important for us to look at the outlook of this sector, because, you know, this new government needs to find cash anywhere it can get, either from growing, the taxation system through GST even perhaps, or widening the tax base, or trying to get more dividends from energy companies like Petronas. Do you feel that this is something that is definitely needed by the government? But at the same time, how do you think the government is going to move ahead in terms of growing the revenue in order for us to actually manage the cost that, well, it's going to be incurred over the next few years?
Okay, you raise a couple of points. Oil and gas for the country is a very significant contributor to our GDP. That's around 20%. So it is very important. Whatever Petronas does, both internally and overseas, does affect people like us. On the services side, we are looking at a good growth story. Both globally in terms of the continued recoverable oil prices. Okay, we can talk about oil prices depending on where it is heading to. The outlook for the oil and gas industry globally is good based on what we have seen. This will be driven by the post-pandemic recovery. China is beginning to open up regionally. The Asia Pacific is one of the largest consumer for oil and gas. Locally, the Petronas outlook for the next few years is very optimistic. So as part of the growth story, we are part of the journey in terms of providing the needs for services to support the growth in the oil and gas industry locally.
Now, Icon Offshore has always been in the news when it comes to trying to see how smaller players perform in the oil and gas sector. How do you rate yourself for 2022? Was it a bad year or is it a good year?
I think you have to look at the journey we had post 2020, right? The company for the last 6 years before that has not been making money, mainly driven by the oil prices of crude. Demand was less, but still, and you have assets that you need to mobilize. One thing that Icon is appreciative of is the continued involvement of Equinas. Mm. Equinas has been with us and will continue to be with us, even being a private equity. Mm. The exercise has given us, improve our balance sheet going ahead. When we came in, when I came in, the idea was how can we do better? So we look at the company as such, and the first thing we did was to do a town hall on the first day of work to say that this is how the company as it is now, this is where we want to go.
So that means rationalization has to be part of the discussion, cost rationalization.
First and foremost, what I did was to give the direction where the company should be heading so that people are very clear.
So where is the company heading, Dato?
Where
was it heading before? And under your leadership, where is it going
okay,
now?
Okay. Let
it's more offshore, so we've got to be clear on our direction.
No, before you head anyway, you have got to fix what we have. That we have done either through optimization of our fleet size, review the way we work, get more involved with our client, improve the operational efficiency and utilization, look at our supply chains. All of that has been done within the last 3 years. Since then, we have been making money in terms of which quarter does best and all that in any business. This is normal. But important thing that I like to stress here, we have been profitable and continue to be profitable so far. Now, where do we go from that? We are also, now that we have so-called improved and cleaned up the company, we want to go, what next? The what next is interesting to us. At that point in time, we were looking at how to increase our revenue once you have stabilized the operation, profitability of the company, what next? So we look at a very opportunistic, we acquired a rig at a very reasonable and good price to us. Business picked up. We did quite well on the rig. An opportunity came along. Somebody wants to buy our rig.
And so then
we make good profit.
Having said that, revenue is down 10% to 78.5 million ringgit. Income is down 47% from the same quarter last year. Profit margin is down 17% from the same quarter last year. So we're looking at things still in the recovery process between 22 to 21.
Well, if you then look at it, analyze it properly, that's we sold the rig. So part of that income, loss of income was because...
All right. So there's also cost rationalization that has to be talked about. It's also important for us to look at how you can use the resources that you have right now, human resources as well as assets, to build the company up even further. Do you feel that you need to raise more funds or more capital for 2023?
Okay, let me answer in two front. One is the human capital side of it. What we have done within the company in order to grow forward is, do I have enough talent within the company? If I do have enough talent, do I have the right talent? We are doing that now. Having said that, then it's a lot easier to propel your growth and in what area you want to be through an M&A. Part of the exercise is we have sold the rig that we had. Part of the proceed from that is being used for our future M&A, and the cash balance that we have in the company is healthy now after 3 years. Which give us enough opportunity to do future M&A and to move away from being a heavy asset base to a light asset base. What do I mean by light asset base? Right now, if you look at the vessel size that we have, we are one of the largest in Southeast Asia. We have about 19 OSV, offshore support vessel. Regionally spread, we have a class of asset in Brunei, we have in Malaysia, we now have also asset operating in Thailand. So what we have done is spread it out regionally and look at business in terms of, even though it is still OSV, look at segmentized in terms of Brunei, Malaysia, and Thailand.
Okay. Let's talk about the relationship of Equinas with Icon Offshore. Just now you brought it up very briefly. What is the combination going to look like for the future in terms of how Equinas is going to get more, more involved with Icon Offshore? And you feel that you need more parties, not just Equinas, but other parties, to think about how to grow the company even further collaboratively?
I think you asked the right question here, which we have been pondering and looking. And also considering, as it is now, Equinas' presence is very, very important to us, primarily from a funding point of view. Let me go back. When we bought the rig, funding or loan was 100% from Equinas. We were trying to get a refinancing in the local market. It was tough. Took us about a year to find out. Nothing of that sort came to mind, there was none, so to speak. So, given that landscape, being a shareholder and being a funder for us works well, and also works well for Equinas. Mm. The expansion in the way we want to do, instead of heavy asset, it would be primarily based on a light asset model, because heavy asset would require a quite heavy capital. So that's where we're moving based on the experience that we had. In terms of Equinas' involvement, how long it will be and what it will be and whether there will be any parties, it's essentially a business proposal. You know, if it fits, why not? And if it fits in the way we want to go, it doesn't have to be with Equinas alone. It can be with any party. The important thing is we're looking for growth, and growth must be sustainable.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back,
thank you.
We'll discuss a little bit more with Icon Offshore. Thanks for continuing on with us. I have with me in the studio the Managing Director of Icon Offshore, Datuk Sri Hadian Hashim. Let's talk a little bit more about oil prices, about the energy business in terms of ESG, and trying to, diversify the business even further into sustainable energy. Where do you feel the money is in right now? Do you feel that sustainable energy is going to be the next big thing for Icon Offshore? Are you still going to go for fossil right now?
Okay, let's look at oil prices. Depending on who you listen to, which forecast you listen to, going ahead, I think oil prices will continue to be in this sort of spectrum, either 80 to 100 range. Some are a bit more bullish. Next year, you're looking at about in the 100 plus. But whatever it is, the kind of oil price that we have now is good for the business, good for us, and obviously probably good for the producers, right? That's on oil prices. How do we factor the topic or the issue of ESG? We have embarked, the board has approved for us to embark a three-year ESG program focusing on climate change and essentially climate change. We have adopted out of the 17 United Nations agenda on ESG, we have adopted six. These six are essentially sustainability, climate change, being a responsible corporate citizen. So the focus for the next 3 years would essentially be on how do we mitigate the greenhouse gases. Being one of the largest fleet OSV in the country and in the region, we use a lot of marine fuel, right? So what we have done over the years is that we have started installing a device, the electronic fuel monitoring system, where essentially it optimizes how you use your fuel for the various operations that you have, whether you're pulling a rig or you're doing anchor handling or you're doing supply run. It optimizes this. The investment is relatively high for us. One of these systems costs us about $500,000. We have installed them on 5 of our vessels. That's about 20%. We are addressing this issue. What are the other issues that we have addressed in terms of discharge? That is, to us, now a standard. How do you dispose of waste? These are fully covered in the offshore standards driven by the oil and gas. So we are making in that direction. The next question you are asking, are we going into EV? That is something that we will need to address what the issue of ESG first for us. Investment into alternative fuel will be part of the journey, but that's on the second part of it. We need to get ourselves prepared. We need to get ourselves dressed up, so to speak, to be able to go into the business. Yes, it will be part of our income stream, but you're looking at in the midterm, medium-term horizon.
And because of this, do you feel that the time is right for you to start thinking about investing more in ESG values? Do you feel that you're doing enough in ESG, or there's more to be done? But more importantly, is there money in trying to be more ESG compliant, Dato? Or is it very hard for companies to be profitable while at the same time be ESG compliant?
The way we target our business expansion is to go into light asset, meaning light asset, there'll be less of asset that use heavy fuel. It will be more soft assets, services side of it. So by going into a new business direction, light asset business, your production of greenhouse gases will be a lot minimized. I'm not saying that there is, but there isn't, but it will be a lot more minimized. That is part of our journey into the ESG forum, climatic issues that we have right now. But more importantly, I think, are we making profit responsibly? Yeah, the answer is yes, because profit is a driver, but not necessarily the main driver. It gives you sustainability, but you also have to look at the environment you operate. How do you give back to the environment that you operate as a business entity? And the most important way is to focus on the ESG issues that I have elaborated earlier.
One more short break, Dato, before we conclude our conversation with Icon Offshore. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Datuk Sri Hadian Hashim, the Managing Director of Icon Offshore. This is part of the segment called Pantau Kerajaan Baru, or the monitoring of the new government. Where do you feel the oil and gas sector is going to take its direction under this new government? Do you feel that this government is having big plans for the sector, Datuk?
I have always been hopeful of a change, and I think the new government has given us a hope for change. With regard to the oil and gas sector, I think there's a lot more that can be done, but it's an issue that, it is something that needs a lot more stronger focus, and I would address and leave that to the bodies that look after the whole industry. Am I optimistic? Definitely yes. Will there be changes? That is something that the government, I think, is looking at.
Do you think that the amalgamation of the Environment and Water Ministry together with Climate Change Ministry becoming the new Ministry of Environment and Climate Change is actually crucial for this industry to move forward?
I think if you look at Malaysia, we are a commodity base, right? We have oil and gas, we have plantation, we have manufacturing. These two alone, the plantation and also the oil and gas, does contribute very significant part to the GDP. So the amalgamation of these, where you have to deal with natural resources, the environment augurs well in terms of looking ahead and positioning the country to go into ESG. Yeah. You know very well that our oil palm, now that have industry, are getting a premium because of this, so ESG compliance. So yeah, it bodes well for the country, and why not?
Fantastic. Any final words, Dato? Not just for Icon Offshore, but generally speaking for Malaysians under this new government?
I think change is good for all.
Change is good for all. Fantastic. And with that, that was our conversation with the Icon Offshore Managing Director, Dato' Sri Hadi and Hashim. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroavenue.com, look for Notepad there, as well as at all our digital platform sites. This is part of the Pantau Kerajaan Baru segment that we look and observe in terms of how the new government is going to be performing and what are the key highlights that the new government is going to look at. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.